Well, Father, we just praise you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, and we love you, Lord. We just love you when you come into our lives and you anoint us to share the gospel and to share fellowship, praise reports and all that stuff, Lord, and all that good stuff that you've given us, Lord. We love to expound on the glories that you have given us in our lives daily, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We thank you for the promises that you've given us, Lord, and the faith that you've given us to believe those promises, Father. We just praise you for that, Lord, and thank you for teaching us how to walk in that faith to believe what your word says, Lord. Thank you so much for guiding us and delivering us and setting us free from all the things that have weighted us down over the years, Lord. We just praise you for that and thank you for it. Delivered us from the bondages of the enemy. And Lord, we thank you for all of that. Father, we just ask for your blessings upon this fellowship tonight, Lord, and that you would be amongst us and that you would anoint each one of us to say the things that you'd have us to say, Father, and to open up our ears of understanding to understand that we're in the times that we're in, Lord, that this is the day, this is the end of days, Father, and we thank you for teaching us those things and what you're going to do in these days, how wonderful the revival is going to be, and your miracles and how awesome walking in the promises of your word, Lord, and you also give us the faith to believe that, Lord, and we just praise you for that. We thank you for your anointing and blessing upon all of us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right, let's get started. I just wanted to say a couple of things before we get started. And I'm going to wait for another announcement, but I just want to say, be in prayer about revival. We've mentioned this a number of times. Be in prayer, fast, and pray for revival, that God would start this revival fairly quick, real quick. In fact, yesterday wouldn't be too quick for me. We've got people that we've been praying for years. That it's going to take a shaking before they come in, a lot of them. And Lord, we just want to pray and fast, place it in our hearts, Lord, to do that. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hey, has anybody got any prayer requests or need prayer? You know, I'm excited about the days ahead. I know we're going to have some wonderful time. I know it's going to be a time of devastation. We've all heard that and we've all read that in the Word of God. But it's also going to be a time of celebration. It's going to be a time of revival. It's going to be a time of God's miracles like we've never seen before. You know, Jesus told us, he said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater things you're going to do. And so we're looking forward for all of that. All right. Does anybody, come on now, does anybody need prayer? Everybody okay?
Michael?
Yes.
You know about Jackie, don't you?
Yeah. She's going to be on here later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll talk with her this afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when she comes on, we'll pray for her.
Yeah, we'll wait till she gets on, Missy, and I'll pray for her then.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
And we'll all agree that she's healed. All right, anybody need prayer?
Michael?
Hey.
Hey, I'm sure other people would appreciate this, but I need to hear the Lord's voice a lot better tonight. So I could use prayer in that direction.
Okay. All right. There's Tim twice.
Sorry.
It's all right. How come I see you twice in there?
I got my phone and computer.
Oh, okay.
Trying to get plugged in here.
All right. That's okay.
Give me about five more minutes.
Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we all need more awareness. We all need more discernment. Yeah, and awareness of Open our eyes to see the things that are happening around us, Lord. Give us great discernment in that area to be led by you, Lord, and to understand the things that are happening around us, Lord. We just ask and we pray these things in the name of Jesus for each one of us, Lord. We need to know these things, Father, as you know. And we ask, he said, you said when we pray and we believe what we pray, Lord, that we shall have it. And I just believe it. And I thank you, Lord, that we're going to have that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for giving us that discernment and awareness of what's happening around us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that when somebody speaks about things, we see it in the spirit realm rather than the natural. And Lord, we thank you for that. When we see the newspapers or when we see the news or anything like that, Lord, we're not disturbed because we understand that you're the one that's orchestrating this whole thing. And we praise you for that, Lord. You've got us in your hands, Lord. You've got us in your hands, and all we have to do is rest in that knowledge that these circumstances around us are just that. That we're not going to come to any harm because of them, because you are protecting your people. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Well, do we have any praise reports or testimonies?
Brother Michael.
Hey, Slade.
Hey, listen, I know of quite a few people that I've talked with. They're being attacked in their minds, you know, like David was talking about before and all. And if you would, I'd like for you to pray over all of us, you know, that we are able to cast down these thoughts of the devil and all.
Okay. Well, Father, you know that the evil ones that are running this country are trying to dumb the people down with these chemtrails and stuff, Lord, and we thank you that wherever we go, whatever we do, we are blessed, that the air around us is blessed. We thank you, Lord, that our food is blessed, our properties are blessed, the wild animals that are around us are blessed. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that all of this stuff is not going to hurt any of your people. And we praise you, Father, for it. And for those that it has already affected, in the name of Jesus, we command a reversal and a restoration of memory and loss of memory. And we command it to come back in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for putting back all those files where they're supposed to be and that file getter to go and get the files when we need them. And we thank you, Lord, that that's going to happen to all of us in Jesus' mighty name. Hey, Kurt, you blow your nose? Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I don't know. This is Dave. For me lately, the last few days, I felt a real heaviness. You know, there's something going on. Real dark. It's oppressive. And it's like thickness. I can just feel it. And I can't shake it, you know. So that's the only thing I'm seeing right now. So I don't know how to understand it, you know.
I don't know where okay. It's going. Let's pray against it, Dave.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because of the holidays and, you know, people are getting all excited about Easter, and I have no compassion. It doesn't mean nothing to me. But, you know, you live around an environment where you kind of feel like you're, kind of feel like you're Isaiah sometimes. You're all by yourself. You know, you're around a bunch of people that aren't in the same mind frame you are. Me and Michael Montana talked about this the other day, and it's like you're kind of on your own. There's not really a lot of people out there that are, you know, where we're at and what we think and what we understand. And not somebody you can go, at least for me, in my area, where I can go out and touch. So it's all over the phone. So, and I think because of that, the lack of having that fellowship, I feel darkness around me everywhere.
Amen. Well, I understand it. I can, you know, I can relate to that. I go back to Arkansas occasionally, and I can't wait to get back to Tennessee because to be around God's people like we are over here. Sometimes we get acclimated to that, and it's we get acclimated to it, and we don't realize that the people where y'all are under that oppressive spirit at most of the time. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just we thank you, Lord, for your presence in each of our lives, Lord, and that spirit of oppression that comes around, we command it to cease its operation against God's people in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that even though all of those spirits are around, we are encapsulated in your spirit, Father, and we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that the joy, the peace, and the rest of God is in our hearts. And Lord, praise you, Lord, for doing that for each one of us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Anyone else? You got something, Tim?
Well, I just, you know, what David was, you know, talking about, we've been dealing with that for a while, where you just kind of wake up and there's a heaviness, or, you know, you're in the Word and there's just kind of a, you know, just a, you know, heaviness, and you just have a hard time getting focused. And it's just, we found that we just got to, you know, just as soon as you see that, you just got to pray against it, because it's just witchcraft, mind control. It's the enemy just trying to distract us. And if you're having a hard time breaking it off, you know, just give one of us a call, or Michael Montana or something like that, and just come in agreement. And, you know, just, you know, two will send 10,000 to flight. So I just, you know, kind of recommend that, because, you know, Trish and I kind of keep each other in check when it comes to that. And it's just, you know, it's just the enemy just trying to put, you know, a heaviness on you, or, you know, just stupid thoughts in your mind, or get you distracted in that. So we can feel for you, because we're dealing with the same thing from time to time. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to contribute?
I'd like to share a dream if I could.
Sure.
I only get a few dreams a year. And so when I have a dream, it's pretty substantial for me to remember a dream. Sometimes I'll wake up and know I was dreaming, but I never remember any dreams. But most of the time, you know, I just don't get dreams. But last night I had one of the most amazing dreams. And when I woke up from this dream, I was thinking back. I was trying to remember as much of the dream as I could. And I'm not sure if this was part of the dream or just a thought I had. But prior to this, I was talking to a group of, and I believe it was unbelievers, and I think it was my family members, like a group of my family members or something like that. And I was just sharing a testimony, or my testimony, telling them that I don't know why God chose me, but since he did, I've just been walking in, you know, and seeing miracles and seeing the power of God, healings, casting out demons from people. And the only thing I had not experienced was raising someone from the dead. I remember saying I've watched it on a video, but I have not experienced that yet. So that was a thought I had when I was going back over this dream. So I don't know if that was part of this dream or a thought or what the situation was. But I was in the dream. I was next to a pool. And I saw a boy about 3 years old underwater, laying on the bottom of the pool. And a lady in our fellowship said that, you know, he'd been there for a long time. And then the scene changed, and she was handing me this boy. And this boy was just limp in her arms, was not breathing. And I knew in the dream that he was dead. And I laid him on the, there was like grass next to a sidewalk, which was next to the pool. And I turned his head to the side, and I started pushing on his belly and commanding life in him in the name of Jesus. And I knew in the dream that I could have no fear, And it was not up to me, but God, to raise him from the dead. But I just knew that I had to be focused on the boy, and I had to be focused on my faith, and I had to be focused on the Lord, and not to get distracted by anything around me. And so I was focused on this little boy, and as I was pushing on his belly and commanding life into him in Jesus' name, there was water that was spewing out of his mouth. And I kept doing that. I just kept commanding life into him, and I was just kept, you know, pushing on his belly, and, you know, water kept coming out. And then eventually he coughed and just started to breathe on his own. And the boy had, you know, he just, his eyes open, he had this great big smile on his face, and I knew that he was perfectly fine. And then the scene changed, and I was in a group of people praying, and I had my eyes closed praying, and it felt like, you know, one of our, like, Monday night prayer meetings or one of our fellowships, you know, just within a group of people. And I was just praying in the spirit. And I hadn't shared what had happened with this little boy with anybody. And there was a feeling of not wanting any glory, knowing that the Lord had raised this boy from the dead. And as I thought back on it, the situation of the Lord, you know, raising him up, there was so much joy that was in me that I couldn't contain it. You know, I just had my eyes closed, and it was just like bubbling up from inside of me. And all of a sudden I just started crying, and I started to wail, and it was coming out of me from deep inside of me. And I was trying to hold it back, but I couldn't hold it back. And it was just these loud wails and excitement. And it was just joy. It was like crying of joy. It was. And so I ended up, the next thing I remembered is I had gotten up and went into a kitchen. I was sitting down at a kitchen table, and there was a family around the table. And I believe I was talking to their one son. And as I was talking, it started again, that joy just started to just bubble out of me. And this cry, uncontrollable cry, was like erupting out, but it was a cry of joy. And it turned into wailing of joy. And I just woke up. And when I woke up, my heart was pounding. You know, we've all woken up in dreams of, you know, when we were, there was just so much fear, and we just wake up and our hearts, you know, pounding out of fear. But this was pounding out of excitement. I'd never woke up like this, but my heart was just pounding away. But and when I woke up, there was so much joy and excitement on me that it was just an amazing feeling. And I was just like laying in bed, and my heart was just pounding away, but I was excited, and just of this whole dream. And I really believe this is something that's going to come about in the natural, that we're gonna have situations like this, and it's going to be real important of, you know, just keeping our eyes, because the enemy's going to try to bring fear on us. The enemy's going to try to distract us with doubt and that. But I really believe that we're going to be walking in a time where we're going to have miracles like this happening. And, you know, we're just going to be used of the Lord. And but that joy was just so amazing. So I just, wanted to share that, because I'd never experienced anything like that when I woke up. It was pretty awesome. So hopefully I bless somebody out there. Amen.
Amen. Bless me. All right. Anybody else? Tim is right. The people that will be doing the miracles are the ones that are humble very humble. You remember what they said, what the Lord said about Moses, that he was the humblest of all men, and the people that are going to be doing the miracles in the days ahead are going to be doing that, are the humble ones. They're the ones that's going to give God the glory. He's going to be the only one that gets the glory this time. It's not going to be me. It's not going to be a flashy man in a white suit with television cameras on him. These people are going to be doing it out in the streets and the byways, highways and byways of the world. And they're going to be people going to be saved and delivered and free by these unknown people. Praise God for that. That's right. Thank you, Lord. You know, we're in a perilous time now. We're in a very perilous time. There's an evil government that's that has taken control. Of course, God is ultimately the one that's in control. But as you can see, things are happening pretty quick. It looks like Greece is going to capitulate here in the next couple of weeks. Financially. So, and if that happens, looks like that David Wilkerson prophecy is going to come to pass pretty quick. After that, it will be the United States. So, looks like we're on the way. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to share? Michael, would you like to share what you've got tonight? He's got a burden on his heart. He wants to share, and I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Yes, okay, brother. If I let you guys go on any farther between Chad and David and Tim and you, you'd preach my message for me, and I would be all done. So, because it was a confirmation, everything that was shared. Chad talking about hearing the voice of the Lord, and David with the burden that's upon us, and Tim with the mighty manifestations that God is getting ready to do, and everything that was shared, I really believe in my heart is a confirmation. I've been identifying with David somewhat here in the last few days. I've had a tremendous warfare. I've never experienced for a long time. Whereas I couldn't find perspective at all. I mean, I was just literally, and I'm not ignorant of the Lord's word, and but I was just wrestling for. There was a tremendous despondency that came upon me. I fought it and I kicked against it and I stood on the word of God. But there was a discouragement and a despondency and a lack of meaning and a hopelessness that was upon me, and I just fought it and fought it and praised in the face of adversity, lifted my voice to God and praised in the midst of it. And I believe that there's a tremendous assault against the saints of God right now. And I think of that scripture that says that the devil will make war with the saints and overcome them. One of the things that today, though, I broke through, I was out in my, I have a little place that I go and pray, and the Lord really visited me. And sometimes just a glimpse, it's almost like the shutter of a camera, like for a glimpse, you see beyond, almost like it opens and closes, and you just see beyond the veil. And it only takes one glimpse in the spirit, and everything comes into perspective. And that's what happened today. All of a sudden, it was like the desert had a beautiful forest on the desert. That's what it was like. It was like all of a sudden seeing things from God's perspective. All it takes is one glimpse. When the voice of God speaks as the sound of a trumpet to John the Beloved and said, "Come up hither." And immediately I was in the spirit, and the next thing he sees is the Lord on his throne and heaven and the ministers of God and the elders bowing before the Father. First of all, I want to say that there's three manifestations, two trees in the Garden of Eden that were brought to attention. One of them was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One was the tree of life. I always wondered why it was that when the Lord said, you can eat of this tree here, but you can't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I think the first question I have is, why shouldn't I eat the tree of life and partake of that right off? I doubt if they'd ever partaken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But I believe that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is still the number one tree that's eaten of today in Christendom. The knowledge of evil is one of the things right now that is one of the greatest distractions to the people of God. I'm seeing it. We've seen it in our own life. There is so much going on of darkness. There's darkness everywhere. There's what the devil's doing, what the Illuminati's doing, what the world orders are doing, what the nations are doing. You could literally, without getting warmed up, just getting on just with the internet nowadays, you could be an expert on all that the devil's up to and what's going on. I see whole ministries that are devoted to such focus on the devil, and I don't think we need to be ignorant concerning his devices, but there are I've been involved with ministries that are so focused on every single demon, every name of every demon, every manifestation of the devil, what he's up to, that the Lord didn't call us to just expose the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and it's going to take more than a knowledge of evil to do so. And there's a knowledge of evil right now that is a great temptation to the people of God. And with that, when you take your focus and you dwell on all that's going on with the world, all that's going on, what the Illuminati is doing, what the world order people are doing, what the so-called elite are doing of the earth, what these people planned against us, what the devil's up to, you focus on that, and the only thing that will come out of it is fear. There'll be nothing good will come of it. The only thing that's going to be good is that you'll. The only thing that will come out of it is fear, and a focus on our lack of ability. There's very much focus right now, and I have had to guard against it in my own heart and to keep it in perspective. It's so easy to click on an alternative news source and to see what's going on in Russia, what's going on in Syria, what's going on in Israel, what's going on in the United States, what the usurper in chief is doing, what's going on here, what the North Koreans are doing, what, and you can get so focused that thing turns into a mountain, and you'll without even knowing it, the only thing that happens is when you've examined the giants, and then you, and when you're looking at things with natural eyes, the only response can be fear. You'll look at things with your natural eyes. You'll see what the world's up to. You'll see the darkness that's going on around. And if you're looking at these things with natural eyes, the only possible thing that'll come of it is then you'll look at your own ability in the natural, and fear will come in, and you'll go, they got iron chariots. They got walled cities. They got drones. They got it, the picture gets very bleak, and next thing you know is, go, we are not able. We are not able to overcome them. They got iron chariots, walled cities. The height of their stature is great. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. That is the absolute response of that. But there's something else takes place. And then the other thing is the knowledge of good, good and evil. What was wrong with good, with knowledge of good and evil? And I believe that there's a knowledge right now that is so consuming the people of God. I can pull up on the internet, sermonindex.net. That can be a very nice website. It can be a good thing. You can listen to 27,000 messages or whatever it is, and many of them by real men of God. I can listen to 450 A.W. Tozer messages. I can listen to, but you know what happens? I'm telling you what. The internet has done one thing for this generation, that is, and this, you know, it says in the scripture, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. But one thing the internet has done is people are living their lives vicariously through the lives of somebody else. I know people that they have these websites where they go on and they go hunting on their website, and the bucks trot by and they shoot them with their imitation gun, and they mount their little horns on the wall. They do the whole nine yards, and it's all, everybody begins to live a vicarious life. One of my friends had a young teenager over for with his sons had a teenager over from somebody else's family. And the man was 16 years old. They'd never thrown a ball before. They didn't know how to throw a ball. He could punch a keyboard all day long. He was very good at that, but never hands-on. And what happens when we listen to messages by everybody under the sun? We listen to the words, and I can listen to, you can pull up the internet. You can get 10,000 people that call themselves apostles or prophets. You can get teaching until it's coming out of our ears, left and right. And what ultimately happens is it's a deep knowledge of good, but it's not life, nor does it have the power to destroy the works of the devil. And the only really good thing that can come out of a good message is somebody that shares a word of God, is they can, it can be a goad in your own hindquarters to press you into a deeper pursuit of the Lord. But the scripture, you look at the word life, and as far as the tree of life, the number one attribute of the Son of God is life. It says in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the life was manifested, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. Except you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. The law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. He says, except you eat my body and drink my blood. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, yet they testify of me, and you won't come to me that you may have life. The life is not in the doctrine. The life is not in the teaching. The life is not in the word. It's in the person. And we're in a place right now, brothers and sisters, what happened in my spirit today, it was just like a glimpse. I saw something in the spirit, and it was so clear, and many things became very clear all at once. And it was just a little glimpse in my spirit, and it was like a light shining in a dark place, because that's where I had been at. I'd been in a dark place. I haven't understood it. A great warfare. And I have fought and battled and stood and declared, and this was a cloud of great darkness that came over me. And I fought against this thing. But in this glimpse that I saw several things. First of all, I'm going to tell you something. Now, we're getting to a time, we've talked about it, you've heard about it, that there's going to be a great sorting out going on, a great separation going on. This is going to take place, and it's going to be a classic. This is something only God could pull off. He's going to do it in such an amazing way. Because we're at a place, brothers and sisters, where when he says everything that can be shaken will be shaken, I assure you, it will. And that means in our own experience. It's not just enough to look at that and go, yep, all these religious systems of men, all of this. Well, everything that's not reality in your own experience is getting ready to get shaken too. And I can guarantee you, I look in my own heart and I see enough fluff to make a mattress out of. And I know with all of my heart that God is wanting to sort that out right now. I think of that scripture when the sons of Sceva, they come to this demon-possessed man and they say, we adjure thee by the pole, by the Jesus that Paul preaches. And brethren, I'm going to say this, I'm going to wax rather bold. 90% of everything that's going on in the name of the Lord is somebody adjuring by the Jesus that Paul preached, or the Jesus that John preached, or the Jesus that James preached, or the Jesus that one of these other brothers preached. But brothers, I'm telling you what, that word is going to have to be made flesh in you. The word that the Lord spoke to my heart today was this one thing. This scripture is going to be the dividing point right now. I'm going to tell you between who's who and who isn't. And that is this word that says, it's not the man that commends himself that's approved, but it's he whom God commends. There's a whole lot that's out there right now commending itself, making a big noise. But it's easy to do that when the house on the rock and the house in the sand are both looking pretty good, because the vehement testing hasn't come yet. But the full extent of this vehement testing that God is getting ready to bring on the people of God, we haven't got a clue. We can go, I've read about what went on in Germany. I read about what went on in Yugoslavia. I've read about what went on in Cambodia and China. And we can read these stories. But brothers, when the chickens come home to roost, right here where we live, we're getting ready to find out what kind of reality we have in our own experience. And this is, I saw in my spirit right now that God is calling a people right now. And we've heard this word. We've all heard it. And, of course, the Lord says it's not the hearers of the word that are justified before God, but the doers of the word that are justified before God. And right now, the Lord is calling us to himself. And I'm telling you what, you're not going to stand on the word that Paul preaches. On the Jesus that Paul preaches, you will not stand. On the Jesus that David preaches, you will not stand. On the Jesus that Michael Hare, that myself, the Jesus that Paul the Apostle, that Peter, that John or James, you can't stand on the Jesus that they preach. God is calling right now, and the call is very deep. And I heard it today, and the Lord was saying to me that this is a narrow way. And brothers, we've talked about the narrow way. Brother, it's narrower than I thought. This is a narrow way, and the Lord is calling a people. You know that a nation, there have been nations that have been thoroughly affected by one man who heard from God. One man. When Elisha the Tishbite, the first thing you find out about Elisha the Tishbite, and Elisha the Tishbite said unto Ahab the king, who's Elisha the Tishbite? Who is this guy? The Tishbite? He shows up on the scene. But I'll tell you what. This is going to be the separation between the men and the boys. This man, you know what the credentials were of this man? That what he spoke, he had heard from the Almighty. And it affected utterly a nation. This was a nation that was in total idolatry, run by the witch Jezebel. They were slaying prophets left and right. One man had hidden 200, I think it was, in a cave and was feeding them with bread and water. I think it was Obadiah or somebody was feeding them with bread and water. And Elisha the Tishbite shows up. When a nation is in tyranny, when a nation is going in, do you think that God is asleep, or is he night-night, or is he shaking his hands, or walking, pacing heaven back and forth, worried about what's going on? I'll tell you what, when the nations in one accord gather themselves together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. For the Lord will have them in derision. He will speak to them in his wrath, vex them in his sore displeasure. The Lord has something he's up to. The only reason that we have the leadership we have is because God is going to use this wicked vessel as a rod to discipline and to deal with this people. When Nebuchadnezzar stood and he got arrogant before the Most High God, and Daniel interpreted his word, And he said, unto you it is spoken, O Nebuchadnezzar, you shall be driven from among men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You'll be wet with the dew of heaven until seven times pass over you, until you understand that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdoms of men, setteth up whom he will over nations, and he'll set up the basest of men. And that same hour the thing was fulfilled upon me, and the heart of a beast was put within me. And it grew eagle feathers and claws, and he graced for 7 years. And at the end of the 7 years, and it says at the end of time, I lifted up my eyes and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and I praised and honored him that lives forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. This kingdom from generation to generation, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his own will in the armies of heaven and among the sons of men. No man can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And then it says in there, and now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, extol, and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and ways are justice. And it says, and they that walk in pride, he is able to abase. That was the last words of Nebuchadnezzar that are recorded in the scripture, to my knowledge. But here's one man shows up on the scene, Elisha. But the man had something that nobody's seen. It was what was done in secret. It was what was hidden. His alms were in secret. He prayed in secret. He was not known by man until he walks up to the king. And he didn't come up with a great idea. I got a great idea. He said, according to the word of the Lord, there shall no rain or dew fall on this earth but by my word. And he walks off into the desert. And that man had just made history. Why? Because he had heard from the Almighty. The word he had was not another message. It was not the Jesus that Paul preaches. I'm not speaking of the Jesus that Moses was speaking of. This was the God that Elijah walked with. This is the God that spoke to Elijah. Elijah walked up. And then the Lord says, now go to the brook Cherish. I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. He went there for a period of time. And when he showed back up, brother, that man was real popular all of a sudden. 3.5 years later, they're looking high and low for this man because he had a word that affected a nation, that shook a nation to its roots because there was no rain nor dew on the earth. But this man had heard from God. And now he walks back up, and he walks up to Ahab, and he didn't say, sir, could I make a petition to you? He said, gather all Israel together unto me at Mount Carmel. And the guy didn't go, well, who do you think you are, Jack? He knew who he was. He was a man that had been with God, a man who, when he spoke, it stopped raining on the whole earth for 3 years and 6 months. And I remind you, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, yet he prayed earnestly that it might not rain on the whole earth for a space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth its fruit. That man had anointing because he had heard the burden of the Lord. Not a word from God. A rhema from God. A rhema is a word, a specific word for a specific man at a specific time, at a specific place, for a specific people. And I'm here to tell you, God has such a word today. He has a word for this nation today. He has a word for each nation today. And there are men of God, and very few, may I say, who are going to pay the price that they can step out on the scene of history and say, it says in the scripture, the trumpet issues forth an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for battle? And there's a lot of noise going on. People don't need more Bible. They don't need more verses. They don't need more preachers. Got too many of them already. We need men who can say, thus saith the living God, before whom I stand. And brothers, those guys are rare as hen's teeth. They are very, very rare in this hour. And Elijah walks up and tells the king, and now gather unto me all Israel at Mount Carmel. And the king got busy because it was the word of the Lord. And then he walks up and he says, why halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve him. But if Baal be God, serve him. And then he said, let there be altars built here. Pour water over the top of them. And whose God is God? Let him answer by fire. And the false prophets of Baal, 850 false prophets were out there dancing and carrying on, cutting themselves. And Elijah was walking over there going, hey, where's your God? Is he 99? Maybe you better wake him up. You think, hey, maybe he went on a journey. You should go check on him. You know, this man was mocking. What was it that was mocking these guys? It was the faith of Almighty God, because the fire of God had not fallen on his altar yet. But this man was mocking. It was the faith of God saying, where's your God? Hey, maybe you need to wake him up. He might be 99. You know, that kind of a faith. But when he stood and said, and now, Lord God, let this people know that you are God alone, that they've forsaken thee and served other gods. And then the key of the whole thing, he says, and that I am thy servant and have done all of these things according to thy word. It was not a great idea. I got a great idea. Let's all just call fire out of heaven. No. He had a specific word for a specific people at a specific time and a specific place. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that's the only word that's going to make the difference in this hour. God is not intimidated by the nation. It says all the nations of the earth are reputed as nothing. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his own will in the army of heaven. And on earth, no man can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? That's the Most High God whom we serve. And brothers and sisters, we have sometimes a base vision of who this Most High God is. We get shaken back and forth, but God is not shaken. It says in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should be removed, and though the mountains should slip into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. For there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder, burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. God is right now. It is not a bit. Nothing is out of control whatsoever. He has declared his word. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the first. I am the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. He is the one that spoke and the universe exists. He's the one that will speak and wrap it all up with a word. It'll melt like wax. Before the fire, behold, God cometh down to tread upon the high places of the earth. The mountains shall be molten beneath him. The valley shall be cleft, shall be poured out as waters down a steep place, and shall be as wax before the fire. Be still and know that I am God. He says, as I live, saith the Lord, the whole earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. He says in his word, the Heavenly Father speaks and says, sit thou here unto the Son, sit thou here at my right hand, until I make all of thine enemies thy footstool. It's absolutely irrelevant what the nations are up to. He counts the nations as the dust of the balance, insignificant to the weight, one way or another. It doesn't mean one thing to the Almighty God. Everything he has spoken will come to pass. Not one jot or tittle will fail of what he has proclaimed, because he is God. He is the Almighty. He knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. A day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you right now, God is getting ready to separate the men from the boys, the women from the girls. There's getting ready to be a tremendous separation take place. And you know what's going to be? We aren't going to stand on the God that Paul preaches, on the Jesus that Paul preaches. Sorry, that ain't going to cut it. It isn't going to be the Jesus that Paul preaches, the Jesus that John preaches, the Jesus that James or Peter preaches, or Michael or anyone else, or David or anyone else. Brother, the only God you're going to stand on is the God. He says, when he said this, brothers and sisters, there are two places you want to be known. You want to be known in hell, and you want to be known in heaven. He says, Paul, we know, and Jesus, we know. But who are you? Brothers and sisters, that cry still goes forth. The devils, they know, those that do know their God are going to be strong and do exploits. Not those that know about their God, not that those that have the good theology and have their doctrines all lined out in a little row. It's going to be those that do know their God and have the authority of Jesus Christ and the commission of God, because they have the word of God for this hour, for this people, for this nation, a specific word. God has such a word right now. The Lord God wants to speak. His secrets are with them that fear him. The Lord God wants to reveal his secrets to those who will pay the price to wait on God, to allow the stripping that takes place in that glorious presence of the Almighty, where no flesh can glory in his presence. And the only thing that happens, the men were right when they said, we don't want to come and appear before him lest we should die. You're right. You get in the presence of the Almighty and there's a death that's going to take place. It's the death to the old nature, because flesh cannot dwell in that presence. But I'll tell you what, there's a resurrection life that comes out of that death that God wants to bring forth in every one of our lives. And right now, with all of my heart, I heard in my spirit today, I'm separating. There's a separation taking place right now. You know what's going to happen to the false prophets that are out there right now? Ananias and Sapphira is coming home to roost on a broad scale. Brothers and sisters, those that are representing God and misrepresenting him, there's going to be death in the pulpits, brothers and sisters. There's going to be death in the pulpits right now, those that misrepresent the Lord. The only reason it hasn't happened is because the spiritual level is so low. If we were at the spiritual level that it was in the early days in the book of Acts, right after the day of Pentecost, and when the thousands were freshly converted to Christ, and when everywhere they were together in one accord and one place, and they fellowship daily from house to house, breaking bread, fellowship and prayer. No man's goods were his own. They just shared freely among the brethren. There was a high level of spirituality, and with that high level of spirituality came a very high level of accountability. And that's why Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead. If it were this day, there'd be dead people everywhere. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you right now, it's a time. Are you the person? It's not very many. It's a very narrow way. This thing that God spoke to my heart today is a very narrow way. I don't know if you're the man. I don't know if you're the woman. I don't know if you have the heart to pursue until you can be that person that hears the voice of God for a people, the voice of God for a nation, the voice of God for a fellowship, the voice of God, something that's going to be God commending men. It says it's not the man that commends himself that's approved. That's the dividing line. Brothers, everybody's making a noise right now. There's all kinds of talk in the name of Jesus Christ. But where's the commendation of God? Where's the anointing that breaks the yoke and sets the captives free? Where's the word of God that came to John, the son of Zechariah in the wilderness? Where's that word that's spoken? Brothers and sisters, take it to heart. Time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. brothers and sisters, we have limited the Most High God many times. We sometimes, I've said, we're like an archaeologist digging in a hillside, looking at the bones of something that used to live, and say, I wonder what it was like when it used to walk on the earth. I can see it had long legs. It probably could run mighty fast. Look at its teeth. It really could eat things. But you know what, brothers and sisters? God is wanting to bring it forth in life, in real now, right now in our lifetimes. He wants to bring forth that latter house that exceeds the glory of the former house. He's going to have a people, brothers and sisters, they're going to walk like no people on earth have ever walked, brothers and sisters. What do you think would happen? Do you think God can't speak to a king? Do you think he could get the audience of a king? Sure he could. What if he translated somebody right into the presence and they stood before him and says, I have a word from God for you, bucko. And brother and sister, he's not going to go, he's going to say, I'm all ears, Jack. Brothers and sisters, God can bring forth manifestations that we haven't even framed yet with our carnal mind. God wants us to see by the Spirit where nothing is impossible, that we'll sojourn in the land of promise, a strange country. It says Abraham, by faith, sojourned in the land of promise, a land where 2 and 2 doesn't equal 4. You could take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed the multitude. You can go down and catch a fish out of the water and pay your taxes, where the Lord God can do things that we have never even framed with our mind. And it's not limited to what we've seen in the Scripture, because God said in His Word, greater works than these will you do, because I go to my Father. God wants to manifest His glory in this hour, and God will manifest in His glory, and He will be seen on this earth. And He said to the church of Thyatira, he that overcometh, I will give him power over the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel, as I have received of my Father. Brothers and sisters, God said that to a people. And there's 2 places where it speaks of dashing in pieces like a potter's vessel. 2 are of the Son of God, and 2 of them are to the church of God. And I'm telling you right now, don't let the limitations of what you see with your natural eyes. Don't look at the giants. Forget the giants. What we need to do is get a glimpse beyond the veil of this natural realm and see the glory of the Almighty, so we can say with Joshua, hey, they be bred for us. Their defense is departed. Let's go at once and possess this land, for He is able to bring us in.
Amen. Ditto. Praise God. That's right. Amen. Thank you, Michael. Has anybody got anything they'd like to add or ask a question about?
I would.
Okay.
Well, and please, I'm asking everybody, please, not to take this wrong, okay? But this is all the people who are like me that aren't at the level that, like, Michael Montana, you, Tim, and David Ells is at. When he was saying all that, there were certain scriptures that came to my mind, because this is where I'm at. But do you mind if I read? It's just 3 scriptures.
No, go ahead.
Okay, but in Matthew 19:25, it said, then when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and replied, With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. That's one of them. The other one is Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And then Luke 24:45, and this is what I pray to the Lord all the time. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. See, with me, I'm doing the best that I'm trying to do, and I tell the Lord that all the time, that I'm doing the best that I can, but I need him to do it in me, because it's not by our works, but it's God through us, correct?
That's right.
And the thing is, see, and like I said, I don't mean this derogatory to anybody, but y'all are so, and I thank the Lord that He's got men out there like all of y'all that can teach us and train us and all. But sometimes I feel so inadequate, like I know a lot of other people do also, because we're not at that level. Now, me, myself, I'm going to tell you what I feel in my spirit. I will be one that will be martyred. Which is fine with me, because absence from the flesh is presence with the Lord. But I just want other people to understand that you know, y'all amaze me. I mean, totally amaze me, and I wish I had what y'all have. But right now, at this point, I don't. But I would love to be that. I love the Lord with all my heart and do anything He asks me to do. Let me give this example. I had a couple of people invite me to a revival last week. They had it Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night, and Saturday. I didn't want to go to revival because I'm not the, y'all understand where I'm coming from on that. But I told them I'd go with them Friday night. So I went Friday night. And the pastor, bishop, apostle, that whatever they all were calling themselves. Anyway, one looked at me and asked me to come up front. And he spoke a word over me. And my spirit, and before I even got there, I was praying for a hedge of protection all around me and for the Lord not to let anything go into me that He didn't want in me. But when He spoke that word over me, in my spirit, just basically said that that was a deceiving spirit speaking. But anyway, I just want people to know that we're trying our best. We will make it. And that's all.
Michael, can I respond to our brother?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to encourage you, dear brother. I just told you that I've got enough fluff in my own life to make a mattress out of or two feather pillows. And I just want to say that, I've been in wrestling with gross darkness in the last week myself, battles that have been upon me, deepest searchings of my own heart. And that very scripture that you named out of Philippians 1:6, I've had to hang on to and stand on in my own life. All I'm telling you is this, is that this is not a time for us to look at ourselves, our ability or inability. It's not a time to look at the giants. It's a time for every one of us to get before God like we've never got before God and be as dependent as the Lord Jesus was, where He says, I do nothing of myself. The words I speak, they're not my own. The Father works, hitherto I work. God's calling a people. Not everybody has ears to hear it. But those that will wait before the Lord, God is wanting to reveal His secrets right now to His servants. Like He says, the Lord will do nothing but that He first reveals His secrets to His servants, the prophets. The lion has roared, who shall not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? God is wanting to speak. He is speaking. The voice of the Spirit is very loud right now. But we have to be in a place where we put aside the busyness, make our priorities right, shoot our TV in the head, our computers, whatever gets in the way, that sucks up our time, our resource, our affection, and get before the Almighty. And brother, there's going to be a people right now that just like He says, Elisha was a man subject to the same passions as we are, and yet he prayed that it wouldn't rain on the whole earth, and it rained not for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth its fruit. He said that to say, God can do the same thing through any one of you that He did through Elijah. The whole thing with all of us is that just like Elijah, the Tishbite, the first time he showed up on the scene was after much history with God, being before the Lord, waiting before the Lord, seeking the Lord. And that's what the call of the Spirit is right now. Come into my presence, seek my face, listen to my heart, because God has an answer for this nation, and He's no respecter of persons. He can work through any one of us. He says in Joel, and let the weak say, I am strong. Not in our own strength, but be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
Amen. Amen. Any comments, Slade?
Well, I don't want to sound, because I'm not coming against Michael Montana at all, because I think the world of him. I wish my passion was as strong and as deep as that, and I try. This is one of the things with me. I've got no choice right now. I have to work. But now I do spend my day with my earphones in, listening, you know, to the studies and everything. This morning, the whole way to work, I was just praising the Lord, worshiping Him, singing in tongues to Him, praying in tongues. And I'm going to tell you, this is so wild. This has never happened to me in my life. I always stop at this little drive-through place. It's called Martin's, where they sell breakfast and all. And there was a young lady in the car in front of me. There's always a big old line, but there's a young lady in front of me, And she kept turning around, reaching in her back seat, and I was curious, so I was kind of watching. Well, she had a little baby in her back seat, and what she was doing, about every 3 or 4 seconds, she was turning around checking on her baby. And I just thought to myself in the spirit, I said, Lord, that woman, that's a good mother. She loves her baby. Well, anyway, I got up and I ordered my food. Well, she was in front of me, so she went and paid for hers and pulled off. And when I pulled up to pay for my food, the lady at the register, she said, the lady in front of you bought your breakfast. And I just started thanking the Lord because, to me, he was showing me that he heard me this morning. And that was him letting me know that he heard me. If that's anything, but...
Amen. Yeah, well, the Lord's working in your life, Slade. That should be an encouragement to you. Just keep on, brother. Just keep plugging away and don't... like Michael said, don't think anybody's got any more than you got. We don't. We just we're struggling too. But we've got our eyes focused on Jesus, and when you get your eyes focused on Jesus and off the problem, it brings a rest. It brings a peace. It brings a joy to your life. One of the things that when you were talking that came to my mind was a verse that David quite often. Quotes, and it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord of the Spirit. In other words, we think of ourselves as Jesus. We by faith, we are. By faith, the Lord has told us that we walk like Jesus walked. And all we have to do is keep our mind and our eyes on him all the time. When you wake up in the morning, start praising God. When you go to sleep at night, praise it. Be the last thing you do is to pray to God. You know, that kind of stuff there. We know people have to work. They have to make a living. But the other focus ought to be to Jesus. Your main focus is always on Jesus. And we all bear that in mind.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like I said, and me, and I know all the UBMers love the Lord with all their heart. I mean, it's so obvious and all. But what I was saying, I mean, I do, now when I'm working, having to, you know, because I work with my hands, with the materials and stuff, you know, repairing stuff. So my mind is on the Lord, but I also have to focus on what I'm doing. But I talk to the Lord all day. I love on the Lord all day. I worship the Lord all day. I wake up 2 or 3 times in the middle of the night because I've got 4 dogs who decide they want to go outside at a different time. And as soon as I wake up, the first thing I do out of my mouth is the Lord. And I just, gracious alive, I just want, you know, I just would love, and I know he's going to do it, but I know I'm going to make it. I know I'm going to make it because he loves me and I love him and I'm trying my absolute best. And in one of David's study, he talks about that he don't hold against, I'm going to paraphrase, but he don't hold against us what we don't know. And now if something comes up, the spirit in me tells me, you know, don't do that or don't say that or, you know, that's a bad thought. And when it does that, I stop or I cast it down. Like today, coming home, there were some bad thoughts started coming into my mind. And I just spoke the word that, you know, I don't know. I'm going to paraphrase, and you'll probably know what it is. But it says that darkness can't stand in light and that the Lord Jesus Christ is in me and he is the light. And so I commanded the darkness to go in the name of Jesus Christ, just like Michael Montana was talking about.
Amen. That's true. That is true. Okay, listen, anybody got any other comments they'd like to make on what Michael was talking about? Tim?
Yeah, I just want to kind of share as far as with what Slade is saying. And Slade, I feel like I'm in a position where I am just totally incapable. And I just try to, you know, I just feel like a misfit sometimes. And it's just a matter of just keeping my faith in the Lord and just wanting to be an overcomer and being humble to say when I screw up and just taking it to the Lord and just taking each day at the time and just, you know, just trying to take my thoughts captive, keep my eyes on the Lord, keep my eyes pointed, you know, for that race and not get distracted looking to the left or to the right at the world or, you know, getting pulled in. And I think that's, you know, that's really where we need to be. And, you know, I mean, I would love to be back into construction like you are. And that's what I know, but the Lord has got me here. And, you know, for this season of my life right now, but, it's just, you know, the enemy tries to bring doubt in that. And it's just a matter of, you know, we all love the Lord. We're all trying to just, you know, just, you know, what Michael was talking about is just, you know, the Lord's going to do it. We just got to get out of the way. We got to get our flesh out of the way. We got to get our, the world out of the way. We just have to be a willing, clean vessel that the Lord can use. And that's all we can do is the best, you know, we can do with the knowledge that we have and just know that the Lord's got to do it in us. There's no way I can do it. He's got to do it in me. And I just have to be willing. And I've got to, when he shows me something, I have to be humble and just, you know, cause there's no way without the Lord that, you know, I'd be anything. So I just, I relate to you, man. It's just we're just a bunch of misfits, you know, that the Lord is going to use because
absolutely, and that's one thing he's talking about your business. See, I gave my business up. You know, I was a drywall contractor. I was making $300,000 to $500,000 a year. I gave that up. I mean, I've had the opportunity to get back into it a few times, big, but I've already told the Lord that's not what I want. And that's what that bishop, prophet, apostle, whatever he was, Friday night spoke over me. He said it. He said, "The Lord showed me that you was a businessman, and that you've been at a certain level two or three times, and you walked away from it. But he's telling me right now to tell you to get back in the business that he's with you." But see, I'm well aware. My eyes are open to what's going on in the world, this whole world. I know where we're headed. I don't want to put my foot back into the world, in the business world. That's not my heart's desire. My heart's desire is to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And right now, like tomorrow, I might be digging ditches. The day after tomorrow, I might be cleaning restrooms. But, whatever the Lord opens the door, I'm, like you said, I have to humble myself before the Lord. I might make $15 an hour tomorrow. I don't know. But I just, you know, I have, I'm debt-free, but I still have rent to pay. I still have car insurance. I still have the phone bill, and I still have a daughter. So, and the Lord, I know, God, he loves us so much, and I know he understands where I'm at. And like I said, I just, as of right now, tonight, if I was to leave this world, I believe I'd be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe he'd love me. Amen.
Amen. I'm sure the prophecy made your flesh feel real good.
You were breaking up a little bit, Tim.
Yeah, okay. No, I was just saying that word of knowledge or whatever that guy had made his, you know, pleased his flesh. Amen.
When he said that over me, in my spirit, it's just like it come up out of me that it was a deceiving spirit. Because if, Tim, either one of us was to get back into business like we were, it's going to take so much of our time away from our relationship with Jesus Christ. Today at lunch, the guy I was working with, I was sitting there talking to him about things going on in the world, and he said, "Well, you know, there's nothing we can do about it." And I said, "Well, yes, there is." I said, "You can get you a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and whether you live or whatever, you'll know where you're going." And he just kind of smirked and laughed it off. Well, anyway, I go through the same thing y'all go through.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Tim, that was a good testimony. About where we all are. You know, I feel so inadequate. Just like you were talking about, many times, you know, sometimes I look at man and I said, what are you doing here? You know, and that kind of thing there. And it goes through your mind all the time. And we just have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus and let Jesus handle it. And when you let Jesus handle it, everything will work out. Praise God. Okay. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Well, while I've got everybody here, I want to tell you that Uber conference people have contacted us and told us that we're using the wrong number for everybody. The number that you're using is an 800 number, and they limit us as to how many people can use that 800 number. The only people that can use the 866 number is people who don't have any other way of getting. Tracy, there you go, mute yourself. Anyway, that 866-469-9418 number is for people who cannot get on the internet and call in by Skype, or cannot call, who's got unlimited on their phone. It's just for people who have limited access to a phone that needs to use it. They've threatened to cut us off if we didn't change. So I'm asking you to take this number down, and if you possibly can, utilize this number through Skype or through your phone, your unlimited phone usage. That number is, get your pens and pencils ready, 423-464-6379. I'm going to say it again, 423-464-6379. We have exceeded our bandwidth and we didn't know it. It was in small letters, like in the agreement, and we didn't know. And they've checked us and found out we're way over our bandwidth, and have been for quite some time. And they've given us till April 10th, I believe it is, to make sure that everybody understands that and calls in on this other number if you can. So, having said that, has anybody got any questions?
Once again, Michael, are we going to keep the same PIN number then? Is that all set up going to be the same?
Same PIN number is going to be fine at 49. You know, that number that you have is going to be fine.
Hey, Michael, I just got in. I logged off and got back in using that number, so it's cool.
Okay, yeah, yeah. That number is actually a local number, and it doesn't interfere with their 800 thing, whatever it is. That's messing up their stuff. But anyway, if you would, use that 423 number. From now on, you don't have to do it tonight, but from now on, it would be nice. Lord, we're losing people like.
Well, they might be going out and coming back in.
Well, they might be. Yeah, you don't have to.
I guess they could do that and then save it on their phone, you know, or change it in their.
Oh, yeah.
So anybody that calls in on a cell phone that has unlimited, you know, if they could just, you know, stay on that number. But if you're calling from, let's say, a home phone and you have to pay long distance, then call in on the 866 number.
Yeah, that was what I was going to ask, because on my cell phone, which is unlimited, but it cuts out real bad and I miss half of what the people saying. So that's the only reason I have this home phone here is just to be able to call the conference call. That's, if it wasn't for the conference call, I wouldn't even have a home phone.
But you have to pay long distance on your home phone, right, Slade?
Not on the 1-800 number. I mean, the 1-866 number.
Right. Well, that's fine. If you need to use it, then use it. We've got everybody's calling in on the 866 number, because that's what when we get texts, that's the number they text us. So I don't know if they can change that or not. But, you know, we weren't aware that there was another number. We just found that out after this audit or whatever happened. So.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's no big deal. It's just another thing to overcome.
Another attack from the enemy.
Yeah. Yeah. There's Don and Marlene.
Everything should be free.
Amen. So, has anybody got anything they'd like to share? Wonderful word, Michael. It's a true word. It's a right on word. Everybody needs to get right with the Lord and get as close to Him as you can. The days ahead are going to prove how close you are to Him.
Well, when he was sharing that today, you know, it takes me about 5 or 6 hours to cut the lawn. And I was listening to an older teacher. I think it was from 07 or something like that. And it was the like the Saul Eli ministry or some, you know, I forget the name of it. But it was basically David just talking about the, you know, the false apostate teachers and that out there. And he shares, I think it was 4 different stories about him being, you know, invited to a church. And he, you know, goes in there being weak to the weak, and eventually he's asked to, you know, talk or teach or preach or whatever it is. And, you know, the door opens and he brings forth the word in these churches. And then he starts, you know, on the side, and that he starts praying for people, and they're getting healed and delivered. And, you know, the elders find out as far as what's going on and, you know, that people are getting healed and that, and they don't believe in any of this stuff. And they eventually ask him to leave the church, and, you know, all 4 of these churches basically just crumble afterwards. But the Lord brought the truth into the church, and they did not abide in the truth or want to hear the truth, or it was affecting, you know, what their beliefs were, or, you know, what their fathers of their religion or, you know, taught or whatever it was. And, you know, once they received the truth and, you know, they asked, you know, basically they didn't want to hear the word, the true word. And when they asked it to leave, you know, all 4 of these churches eventually just crumbled away. And I just saw it as a type of, you know, really what's going to come. I mean, when everything's going to be shaken, the Lord is just going to, you know, show them truth. And if they don't abide in the truth, then he's going to just, they're going to crumble away. So it was a pretty good series.
Yeah, that's a good, what was the name of it, Tim?
I'll have to look. I think it was Saul Eli Ministries. Or,
oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I remember him talking about it.
Pharisees, sure. Saul and Eli Ministries.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure that's happened to a lot of us. I know it's happened to me and probably some others. They just, people just don't want to hear the truth, that have a foot in the world and a foot in the, and they try to have a foot in the kingdom and a foot in the world. And it doesn't work. You're either going to be in the world or you're going to be in the kingdom. You there ain't no in between. There's no neutral ground, so to speak. You're either in the kingdom or you're not. You get out of the world now and you won't have to deal with it later. That's what he's asking everybody to do now. The Lord is asking everybody to get loose from worldly situations, get loose from those things that are hindering your walk with the Lord, and the world is one of them. TV is one of them. Michael mentioned that. Video games is another one. My goodness, how many times? Somebody was telling me the other day, he walked down there, went downtown, and it was Greg, he said almost everybody they saw down there had either a phone they was two-fingering or a video game that they were working on. So get out of anything that distracts your devotion to the Lord. That's the most important thing right now. We're right down here to the wire. We're coming down to the wire. And we want to be right with the Lord when this thing breaks open. That should be our main focus. Do you love the Lord or do you love the world? If you love the world, you know, you're wasting your time in the kingdom. If you love the Lord, then man, just go for it wholeheartedly, put your whole heart and mind and soul into it. Run after him like the Shulamite bride. Man, I mean, just go for it. That's what we all ought to be doing, is going for it. Anybody got anything they'd like to add? Hey, Charlie, how you doing, brother?
All right. I'm doing fine, brother.
Awesome. Awesome. Anybody got anything they'd like to add? Man, this is y'all's fellowship time. Let's, I'd like to hear some things from you, some testimonies. Maybe a story of something you heard about that would glorify the Lord.
Well, something along that line, the Lord really showed me back a few weeks ago. Ezekiel 34:4. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened, the diseased you have not healed, the broken you have not bound up, the scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost, but with force and with severity you have dominated them. The Lord showed me through we got three times here. This is back when Israel went into captivity because they weren't doing any of that. And then in the New Testament times, they weren't doing it either, and so they went into captivity. And now we're just about ready to see it happen again with the church. And it's going to be a lot more severe than any of the first two times. You know, we got the technology today to do things that are far worse than those other times. So it's going to be something.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough time. It's going to be a time of trusting God for just about everything that we need. Your faith, where your faith is going to come in at, how you know where your faith is or where you are with your faith is when you're going to need something and you're going to trust God for it and you're going to believe God for it, or are you going to run to the world? A lot of Christians, so-called Christians, they're running to the world too many times now instead of trying to believe God or believing God. You shouldn't try. You should just go ahead on and do it. Like we talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, just believe that God is perfecting you in your walk. As you read and study the Word of God, it brings you into that sanctification. And that's what it's all about, is just getting in the Word. The Word is Jesus. You get into that Word, you're going to learn about Jesus. You're going to learn what it is to be a Christian, how to walk like a Christian. What you'll be doing, actually, you'll be closing those loopholes that have hindered your faith with God. When you get into that Word, it's going to open up a way of deliverance into the benefits of God. That's why we read and study the Word of God, is to expand our faith. And God expands our faith when we learn what it is and when we put it into action as well. You can read and read and read all day long, but if you don't put into action what you read, what you study, it's not going to help you any. So that's where God has us now. He's edging us toward him. He's pulling us toward him. He's wanting us to, like Tim was talking about and Michael was talking about, he wants us to converse with him every day, spend time alone with him every day. If you have to lose an hour of sleep, it's worth it to converse with the Lord, to allow the Lord to converse with you too. You know, it's not that we get in our prayer closet and just go through the list. We sit there and we listen. We actually listen to what God, Lord, what you got for me today? What do you want me to know today, Lord? What is it that I need to know today, Lord. I want that hidden manna. I want that manna for today, Lord. Give it to me, Father, and I'm going to sit here quietly and believe that you're going to talk to me in Jesus' name. And when you do that, hey, it'll all come up. It'll all come up. He wants us to do that. He wants us to get close to him. He wants us to walk with him all the time. And it's going to be real evident here shortly, it looks like. Anybody else? In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse 1, it says, having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If you don't have a fear of God, this ain't going to affect you. He doesn't have any other kind of method for bringing about his promises than the knowledge of the word, just like we were talking about. And all the armor we put on to fight that battle to receive the benefits in the kingdom has to do with the word of God in your mind and what you know. Michael Montana quotes a lot of scripture. And he understands that warfare, that spiritual warfare that the word says to use against him. When you use that word against the enemy, he can't stand it. He's got to go when you use that word against him at all times. The Bible says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's that battle, because the devil sits there in the up there seeking to hinder us every time we try to reach out for those benefits, doesn't he? But the Lord's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Did you hear that? He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. But you know, a lot of times we're real easily talked out of them because we hadn't closed those doors where the devil can slide in on us. A lot of times, you know, we sit there, do I have a right for a benefit, for this particular benefit? And what you need to do is to have that word in your mind so you'll know. You'll know that it's for you. A lot of people get offended when you tell them that they're that they have a lot of unbelief, but that's what most people's problem is with faith. They just don't believe that God's going to do it for them. I don't know why we do have a problem believing that unbelief is our problem, because you know that if you remember, the disciples always had that problem. While Jesus was walking on earth, they had that problem. They saw with their own eyes that those miracles that God was doing, that Jesus was doing, and he always had to rebuke them for their unbelief. So why would we be any different? So what we need to do is do what Jesus told us to do, and he said, renew your mind with the word of God. And as you do that, then those doors will start closing. Those doors of unbelief will start closing. Remember when they said, when the disciples said, how come we couldn't cast that demon out? What did Jesus tell them? He said, that's because of your unbelief. And they didn't know that their problem was unbelief. Well, they wouldn't ask that question. A lot of people today don't know that their problem is unbelief, but it is. It's unbelief. And so we need to close those doors to the devil where he slides in. He said, I can slide in over here because he don't believe this part of it. And they get in there and they just confuse us, and they stir up all kinds of junk in our mind. And what does the Bible say we need to do? He says, faith cometh of hearing, hearing by the word in Romans 10. And if you continue to persevere and diligently put that word of God in your heart, eventually you're going to close all those doors, and that devil ain't going to be sliding through them anymore. That hedge of protection is going to be real strong around you. You're going to be able to quote that scripture. You're going to be telling that devil, in the name of Jesus, you got to go because the word says this. It is written. And when you say it is written, he takes note. He takes note. So having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Remember? That sanctification, that holiness, and that's the same word. We need to be delivered of all that defilement of flesh and of spirit. And we know that the promises do that. In Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, we've all heard this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon a tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So we see that the Lord Jesus, that redemption he gave, that salvation he gave, it not only took away the sin, but it took away the sicknesses too. And if we are trying to deal with a sickness, or we're trying to deal with some kind of demonic possession, and that devil is attacking us because of some kind of past failures or our sin, then we have a simple solution over in 1 John, don't we? Chapter 1, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we deal with our sins, like Tim was talking about earlier, and believe what that word of God says, that he cleanses us from all righteousness, then condemnation is not going to set in. We're back right and standing with the Lord, and we can receive anything from the Lord. We have all the blessings of heaven available to us, don't we? And what we ought to be seeing here is God that took away that sin. So we don't have any sin. Condemnation can't come in now because we're sinless. We're righteous in God's eyes, not in man's eyes, but we're righteous in God's eyes. And since we don't have that sin, we have a right to the blessing. We have a right to that healing. We have a right to that deliverance. We have a right to the provisions, protection, or whatever it is. Because Jesus took away our sins. He was the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. Wasn't it? John chapter 1 and verse 29. We ought to believe that, and we ought to grab a hold of that and just hold on to it. Amen. Bible says in Luke chapter 1 verse 71, it said, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. And that's what the Lord brought to us. In verse 68, back over in verse 68, he said, he hath visited and wrought the redemption for his people. Redemption from what? Anything that's coming out of the curse. All of our enemies that hate us. See, all that hate us. That's what he has protected us from. And all we got to do is just believe. He delivered us out of the power of darkness, didn't he? Colossians chapter 1. And all of that was accomplished already. It's past tense. You don't have to worry about it anymore because God took care of it 2,000 years ago. He delivered us out of the power of darkness. But sometimes we get these little loopholes in our mind, and the devil sits up there on our shoulder, and he throws him questions at us, makes us a little bit double-minded, and we're not able to receive from the Lord. Let's go ahead and get our mind, our sights on the Word of God, put it in our hearts, and live by faith. That's what the Lord wants us to do. He said all of God's people should live from faith. The righteous shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but he that doeth them shall live in them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for it. That curse was supposed to be ours. But God took it away from him. That's the redemption plan. God took it away from him. We don't have to suffer with the curse anymore. Because Christ did it on the cross. That's why he went to the cross for us. We deserve it. But we don't have to do it anymore because of God's grace and his mercy upon our lives. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And God put all of the curse on Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry with it. We don't have to bear it. And it goes on to say in verse 14, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus. And what was Abraham? Well, Genesis 24 says Abraham was blessed in all things. Don't you want to be blessed in all things? Well, praise God, I do. Every blessing that was spoken to Abraham, ours, God gave him a promised land. And what's the promised land? That's everything out there that we need. It's still in effect. That promise he gave to Abraham is still in effect for us. He said to him and all his seed, and the seed, of course, was Christ, and Christ in us. The blessings of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Praise God. Through faith. And God gives us the faith. All we have to do is receive it and act on it, right? And it ain't through works. It's not through any kind of ability that we have to be just or perfect before God. There ain't no way you can work yourself into being righteous. It has to be by faith in the Lord doing it in us, right? And listen, you got to know this, and I'm going to say this. The truth is that the covenant only applies to us if we abide in Christ. And the way we abide in Christ is by faith. We're accounted righteous by our faith. Remember what the word said? And as we walk in that faith, we abide in Christ in manifest ways, which the Bible speaks about. 1 John 2:24 says, if that which ye heard from the beginning abide in you, ye also shall abide in the Son. In other words, if the real word of God that was given in the beginning, that ain't of man's works, if that abides in you, then you abide in the Son. If, always the if, isn't there? If you keep my commandments, then are you my disciples and abide in the Son. And it goes on to say, now this I say, a covenant conferred beforehand by God, the law, which came 430 years after, doth not disannul so as to make the promise of none effect. So when that law covenant came, it didn't annul that covenant with Abraham and his seed, which is Christ. We abide in Christ, so we're part of it too. For if the inheritance is of the law, it's no more of a promise. But God hath granted it to Abraham by promise. And we're the seed of Abraham, aren't we? Through the promises of the Bible, it says. Well, what then is the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise hath been made. And it was ordained through angels by the hand of a mediator. So it tells us that law was temporary. We ain't got to worry about that no more. It was temporary. It came after the covenant of Abraham. And it only lasted, until that seed came who the promise was made. And what was that promise? That was Christ. In the loins spiritually of Christ are all of the born again people, just like in the loins of Abraham and in the loins of Adam. That's when all mankind fell, right? But in Christ, all shall all be made alive, 1 Corinthians 15:22. So praise God for the promises of Abraham. Praise God for our the word of God that gives us, that renews our mind and teaches us how to walk and talk as Jesus did. Praise God that we can walk as Jesus walked by faith. It's all by faith, people. It's not anything that we can do. We can't work our way into heaven. We have to do it by faith. And we act on that faith too. We speak those words of promises. I am healed in the name of Jesus. I am delivered in the name of Jesus. I am looking in the mirror and seeing Jesus walking this earth now in Jesus Christ. He's walking it in me. That's a lot of people might think that you're presumptuous when you say that, but that's what the Word of God says. You don't have to worry about what people say. Worry about what the Word of God says. And when you worry about what the Word of God says, guess what? You're going to be transformed in that same image from glory to glory. Praise God. Amen. That's the promises that God has given us. And that's the promises. I want to encourage you just to believe what the Word says and walk in it now. Because when this time comes and that door shuts and the tribulation starts, you're going to be showing other people how to walk that walk that God wants us to walk. You're going to be a disciple of Christ. You're going to be a learner and a follower, and you're a teacher too. Praise God. You're going to be showing, just like Michael Montana was saying, you're going to be translated into a place and you're going to snatch people out of the jaws of death. A lot of you will. Some of you will. And it's going to be an awesome time in Christ if you renew your mind with the Word of God. Amen. Anybody got anything they'd like to add or comment on or question?
I got a testimony, Michael.
Okay.
I almost forgot about it just because I felt so good. You know, it's like you get to feeling good and you forget about it then. I almost forgot about it. Was it yesterday or the day before? I the back of my, I don't know, I'm not quite sure why, but like back of my knee started hurting the other day. And it felt like something similar that I had dealt with before. And right away I cast it down and you know, claimed the promises, you know, and all that. By Jesus' stripes I'm healed, and I'm commanded the soreness and the pain to go. And then I kind of went on my way, and then I realized, oh, it doesn't hurt no more, you know. And then later on it started hurting again, you know. And see, the thing of it is in the natural, for the way it was feeling, for it to go away like that so quickly is like, it just don't happen. And then it came back, you know, and I cast it down again and commanded it go, and it went again. And it's been doing that to me off and on, and I know it's the enemy. You know, it's nothing but the enemy. Anyway, today I went out, and I went, I take a walk pretty much every day, and I took Jack with me, and I was heading back towards the house, and I went down over this one hill, and I just felt like I really had, you know, a lot of energy, so I jogged down this little hill, and then down, and I jogged the rest of the way back up to the house, and let Alex take Jack in, and then I went and finished the rest of the stretch in my walk. But the last bit of the stretch, I ran, you know, and I jogged, and I just felt really good, like that, you know, just a lot of energy, and it was just like, thank you, Lord, you're so awesome. And, you know, and then I was putting my shoes on to go out later, and my all of a sudden this pain kicked in back of my knee, and I rebuked it again, and then it was gone, you know, and then after a little bit it was gone again, and it's the enemy, you know. And I just laugh at it now, because it's like, you know, it's nothing but a lie, you know. So praise the Lord. The Lord's awesome.
Amen. You know, that reminds me, a few days ago, I twisted my knee. Boy, it's painful, you know, at times. But even though I still have pain in it, I know God's going to heal it. I just keep on persevering in my faith, enduring in my faith until the hurt, the pain goes away. And I know it's already gone away because God said. And if you just remember, God said, you know, when God said something, he meant it, and it's going to happen. Praise God. So I just like last night, we were praising God last night. We sing a song called The Enemy's Camp that it talks about Satan's under our feet. And we just, and I stomped up and down. I said, bless God, I'm going to stomp up and down because my knee is healed in Jesus' name. And I did that. I got pain in it. I'm not going to say I didn't have pain, but I had pain in it. But I went ahead and stomped that Satan head anyway. Praise God. So that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to act like, walk out this this faith thing that we have. You know, sometimes we fail. That's okay. Get back up and go on, get back in the race. That's all it takes. Remember what I said about 1 John. Just get up, confess your sins, go on back and forget about it, and go on to the next trial, because there's nothing coming. Amen. Thank you, Missy. That's good. All right, anyone else?
I mean, this is what it's, you know, walking in faith, because when Missy was sharing that, it's like that's a daily occurrence. You know, I get an ache here, I rebuke it. I get an ache in my tooth, I rebuke it. I just, you know, the enemy is always, you know, I just through the day, you just get little aches or pains or whatever it is. And it's just you rebuke it, you forget about it, you just go on, and, you know, you might come up with something else. But I just, man, it's just like a daily thing anymore. It's like, no, I'm not accepting that. And I just rebuke it and you just go on. So it's kind of neat. in the past, those things used to freak you out. It's like, oh, I wonder what that could be. Oh, could be this, could be this. Let me get on the internet, you know?
That's right.
And the enemy just pulls you right in, you know? So now it's just like, nah, we're not going that, you know? Knowledge puffs us up, you know? So, amen.
Yeah. It is. It's a battle every day. It's a battle every day. He said we're going to be in these trials and tribulations all the time. It's going to be a spiritual battle. And so we just get up in the morning, all right, devil, in the name of Jesus, I'm just going to stomp on your head today. Well, that's what the word says to do. It says to you're fighting a battle here. We're in a battle, and we're going to be in a battle for a while. But God gave us the tools. He gave us the armor. He gave us the tools and the ammunition to fight the enemy. And we have to use that tool and that armor in order to fight the enemy. And how are you going to know what the armor and the tools are if you don't read the Word of God? So that's pretty essential, is reading that Word of God and getting that Word of God in you and acting on it. That's another thing, is acting on it. We can have it in us, and we can quote scripture all day long, but if we don't act on it, it ain't going to help us one iota. Yeah, Don? Well, you didn't have your phone muted. I thought you wanted to say something.
Oh, I did?
Are you talking to me?
No, your name, Don?
Oh, I'm sorry.
just playing with you, Missy. mute your phone if you're not going to talk. That way you won't interfere with everybody. Amen. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share or need prayer? Anything? This is the time. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Jackie.
I need prayer for encouragement.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Against doubt.
Against what?
Against doubt.
Okay. Well, in the name of Jesus right now, Father, we thank you that you have given us dominion. You have given us authority over all the power of the enemy. You tell us that in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Father, we thank you for that. And in the name of Jesus right now, we command that doubt and unbelief out of Jackie right now in Jesus' name. And condemnation, you go in Jesus' name. And confusion, you go in the name of Jesus. Any kind of fear, you go in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that you have cleansed Jackie of all of that. And she's back on the road again. She's on the road of faith, the great and bold faith that you have given all of us, Lord. And we pray that on Jackie in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, the work that you're doing in her. In Jesus' name, praise you, Father. Amen. Jackie, you are set free and delivered of that, girl.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Put a smile on your face and a jog in your step, girl. Oh, God's with you. Amen.
Thank you so much.
Amen. Anybody else? What you speak out your mouth is what you are. You speak doubt and I'm not talking to you now. I'm just talking to everybody. If you speak doubt and unbelief out of your mouth, guess what's going to come out of your actions? Doubt and unbelief. So just start speaking by faith. I know that a lot of us have family members and friends that come around us and they say, you need to do this and you need to do that and you need to go to the world. You need to do that. You know, all of that kind of stuff. Don't listen to it. Listen to God. What's God say? He said, I'm going to heal you. I have already healed you. I have already delivered you. I have already set up a hedge of protection around you. All I need from you is a little bit of faith, and I'm going to give it to you. Here's your pocket full right here, and he'll give it to you, and all we have to do is act on it. And praise God, he's such a wonderful and gracious and merciful God that he does that for us too. And don't get under condemnation when things don't go exactly as you think they ought to. God's still working in you. But we need to walk by faith. That's the Christian walk. Everything is walking by faith. All right, we've got a couple of minutes left. Anybody need prayer or need to say anything? Well, Father, I just thank you so much for tonight. Lord, it's been a blessing. I thank you for the words that Michael shared. I thank you for the words that Tim has shared. I thank you for the words that everyone has shared tonight, Lord. It's been a good night, and I thank you, Lord, that for being with us. Father, I just ask and I pray that you give us a good night's sleep tonight, that we all sleep sound and get a good restful sleep for tomorrow. And Lord, give us dreams and visions of the things to come so that we can share with the brethren, Lord. We can put all these pieces of the puzzle together and know what you've got on the agenda, Lord. And I thank you for it. Bless everybody immensely, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, saints.